This is ESH episode 27, Gift Guide-O-Rama. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And it's holiday time.
It's about that time again.
Spend your money, bitches.
And be broke for a month.
Yeah, just like us. On the regular.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. But anyway, I have to say that this is like my favorite time of year.
Why?
Because people buy me stuff.
I know, that is kind of cool.
That shit's awesome. Are you kidding me? Oh, man. But anyway, we are hoping that Magic Mystic Girl will be able to make it for the recording. She's running errands. I bet you she's shopping.
I believe she is shopping, actually.
See, I bet. I knew it. So hopefully she'll be able to get back in before we finish recording and join the podcast and add her flavor to it. But as always, I have to give you the business first.
Hit me up with the business then.
And then we can get into the fun stuff.
All right then.
First thing, you got to keep hitting us up on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com or ESH.mobi. That's ESH.mobi. It'll drop you to the same place, but if you're on a mobile phone, it'll give you the quick and easy little view of the website, which is, you know, important.
Yes, it is.
It comes in handy.
It's travel size for your convenience.
It really is for your convenience. But if you type ESH.mobi, that's ESH.mobi, into a regular browser, it'll bounce you to our website. So rather than having to explain to somebody how to spell sister right or the whole thing, just tell them ESH.mobi. It gets them to the same place. Yeah. That's
yeah.
Awesome. You can also visit our Freshware store. That's where we have merchandise branded with avatars, funny sayings that we've come up with, stuff that just makes us giggle that we think would look great on other people wearing shirts or sweatshirts and all
or
that
buttons.
Kind of stuff. And what better gift to give than the gift that lets people know about us?
I know. That is like the best gift ever.
Ever. So please visit the ESH store. Help us have a better Christmas by helping us to make money.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
You know, we could use a little bit more resources.
Just some cash. I don't know about y'all, but I'm broke as hell. So having some additional cash would be the hotness.
It would be great.
The next part of the business that I have is this week's candy bitch.
We have another one.
We have a new candy bitch.
Who is it?
Are you ready?
Yep.
Drum roll, please. Aaron, you got candy, bitch.
You've got candy.
So yeah, that's the candy bitch. And magic is here.
Yay. Hey. I made it.
Woo-hoo.
She made it. Only a couple minutes late.
Yeah. So
that's not so bad.
Yeah, you tied that up real nice.
See, it would have been even better if I'd missed Panda section and then had to, like, come in and start talking, like, immediately.
Yeah, just be like, oh, sorry, I missed it. Here's my section. Gotta go. Bye. No, we're not doing that. We don't want to ever do that.
We should put you on the spot. We should have days like that.
We should be like, okay, and now it's Magic's turn. Go. No, we'll skip over that. In any case.
Considering how much I freaked out the one time we had me go first, I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah, it's probably
Oh god, it's out of order. What do I do?
The universe is spun into chaos. Yeah, no. we'll try to keep it in an orderly fashion.
Yeah.
With that said, that's all the business that I have for right now. I have some little extra stuff at the end, but we can get to that later. So I will now take the mic of 1,000 truths and pass it to Pandalicious. Panda, what do you got for the people?
Well, since this is our holiday episode, we were talking about our lovely little gift list that we have set up for everybody. So I'm just going to wrap on the two things that I think really hit this year that I think everybody should own.
Okay.
Since I'm both anime and gaming,
yes,
I wanted to throw out two different things.
Okay.
And actually, I've decided to kind of wing it on one because I've now decided to change it up.
Ooh, she's flying by the seat of her pants.
Yes, I am. On the anime front, I'm not going to talk about a particular series or anything like that. I think I can just tone it down a little bit for those who don't have the type of money that, you know, we would expect you to have or want to spend on anybody particularly.
Right.
And go for just one movie, and that movie is Angel Sanctuary.
Okay.
It's got angels, it's got blood, it's got incest, and it's got homosexuality.
What more could you possibly want?
I know. They really kind of covered the whole spectrum in three OVA episodes.
Yeah. Bloody, homosexual, angel, incestuous sex. Boom!
Yes. And battling.
I got hung up on the whole there's a female angel and a male body thing.
Yes. I mean, they really did a number on this. I mean, a lot of people were upset because they don't, you know, in the series, they don't really, you know, tell you, they don't give you more. Because they kind of leave you wanting more, seeing what's going to happen, because they leave a cliffhanger.
Okay.
And I think they were going to make more, but I don't think they got the money for it, so they never did it.
So weren't OVAs originally, like, pilot episodes? Like, they do a couple episodes and, like, get the concept down for the anime, and if people really liked it, then they'd create the anime from the OVA? I know that's not what they do now. Like, the Hellsing OVA came after the anime and stuff.
And it was totally awesome.
I think that's, like, back when Angel Sanctuary started, I think that's what they were still doing, wasn't it?
It probably was.
I mean, that sounds familiar to me.
But, so. I mean, they didn't make an actual series of it. Though they did release the manga like a couple years later,
mm-hmm.
because everyone was clamoring to see if they were going to make another installation of the OVA to see what happens after. Obviously, not going to go
of
into
course,
all
we're,
of that.
We're talking about releases in the U.S. What
yeah,
did everything come out in Japan?
I wouldn't be surprised if the manga came out first.
Yeah,
because
that
the manga
makes,
actually
that
goes
more
a lot
more
in
me.
Depth. And then they went and said, "Dude, this was really cool. Let's make an OVA and tease the fuck out of people." And I think that's where the OVA came from.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's definitely something that should be in everybody's collection, library, vault. Like, for some people like me,
vault.
So I consider
the
it a vault.
Anime.
What are you like, Scrooge McDuck? You go dive in your anime and swim
she
around.
She has anime catacombs. And you, like, literally have to go down, and you have to get in these, like, really cool robes. I think she got them from, like, Salem or whatever. And then you have to, like, oh.
And you have to light three torches in the right sink to open it the right way, or not, you'll be, like, thrown into a moat with some crocodiles. But
yeah, she's not playing with her anime people.
No, I don't. But this is definitely something that should be in everybody's collection. I urge it. I implore it. I would beg, but I don't want to get on my knees.
Yeah, I'm not even making a joke there. I'm just going to let that go. I could, but I'm going to let it go.
But if you don't have it in your collection, it should be a part of it. And don't make me go out and buy it for you, because I'm broke and I'll go to prison for stealing. On the game front,
okay.
I was originally going to talk about WoW, because Lord knows that consumed a lot of my life.
Why are you talking about it in the past tense?
Because I am going to change it up a little, because a lot of people are already playing WoW, and the expansion's coming out, which is totally great, which everyone who's playing now should totally get. But for all those who are playing, you know,
she talks like she's done with it, and she was on like an hour ago.
Yeah, I know. I know, just to check things.
I'm
I didn't
like,
play.
I'm like this close to installing WoW just so I can freaking track you down.
Yeah, that'd be the way. Actually, you won't find me there much nowadays. I don't think I'm going to jump back on until the expansion. But
Uh-oh.
I've gotten something else to get obsessed about, and you guys heard me have already heard me talk about it before.
Okay.
I have to say that if you have a PS2, and if you don't have a PS2, you can buy one of the cheap baby ones and get Final Fantasy XII. I can't
Did
stress
you just
it.
Talk about this, like, last week?
Yes, and I can't stress about it enough because I've gotten about halfway to the game.
But see, that's the point. She likes it so much that she's recommending it and is going to very shortly have a rating for it that will
Five.
Appear in our gift guide.
Five
oh, damn.
Golden M&Ms.
Damn!
And I'm not even done with the game yet. The game concept
Well, you never
totally
know.
Awesome.
A really bad ending can screw up a good game.
I don't know, because the battle system in this game really... over a lot of different things. Like,
so
everyone's clamoring over. I mean, the combos are just sick.
So it'd have to be a really, really bad ending.
Like, it would have to be one of those things like, man, everybody died at the end.
Like, they didn't finish it and they sold it anyways kind
yeah.
of ending.
Yeah.
You get past the boss and you're, like, waiting for the ending movie and then it's just, like, credits.
Yeah, exactly. It would have to be that kind of ending. I mean, the game, it just consumes you. Like, I've already been kind of bitched at by my guild because I haven't been 2 weeks because of this game. And if a game can pull me away from WoW, then it is something that everyone who's got a PS2 should own. Go get it now.
Go ahead, say it. You know you want to.
I said, fuck Christmas. Go and get it now.
See, I thought you were going to say, don't be a punk-ass bitch.
No. Just fucking get it. That's
wow.
it.
Wow.
It's that good.
Damn.
And play RPGs like WoW and Final Fantasy like 11, then you will love Final Fantasy 12. Go fucking get it. And that's all I really have to say about it.
Okay.
It just consumes all my reason. Happy holidays, by the way. So with that, that's all I really have to say. You know, just enjoy the holidays, buy a lot of shit, and Final Fantasy XII.
Don't forget to visit our holiday gift guide by Divine Stuff. Okay, go ahead.
So with that, I'm going to pass the mic of 1,000 Truths with a nice holiday bow on it, with a Final Fantasy sticker on it, to Magic Mystic Girl. So
ooh, we're going,
what
we're
are you going to do
stickers.
With
stickers?
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
because it's just that cool.
Yeah, yeah. Stickers are awesome. Stickers and patches. Patches are better than stickers. Yeah.
But you can't put a patch on a microphone. It's not fabric, unless you glued
it.
Ooh, hot glue gun!
Well, don't some of them have, like, the iron-on thing on the back, so you can...
Can you iron
stuff?
It onto a microphone?
Trust me, you don't want to iron a patch onto a microphone, ladies.
Crazy glue.
I said hot glue!
Yeah, crazy glue, maybe. Hot glue, no, because if it seeps inside, it'll mess up your electronics.
Yeah. And then your mic would sound like this, and then you... wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, you'd get like techno garble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, Magic, what are you going to do with the mic that I've just handed to you?
I am going to talk about my favorite artist, Sang-Song Park.
Ah.
Who's that?
My favorite artist.
See, this is when you understand that Pandalicious doesn't actually read the website.
Yeah, I did three posts. Three posts. Back, I don't know when.
Yeah. I think it was in September.
I'm sorry.
I think it was, no, it was earlier than that.
Was it earlier than that? I know it was early on, but you did three posts.
Okay, my brain is not working. What's the seventh month? Because the date is in numbers.
July.
I wrote them in July.
Okay. Yeah, because there's Tarot Cafe, and then...
Tarot Cafe, Les
Bijoux.
It's French. Yes, yeah. I'm terrible in French.
I wanted to read that too, but
Le Bijou and then
Archangels.
Archangels, that's right.
They're kind of they're very different. Archangels is like a cutesy little girl's kind of story.
Mm-hmm.
Le Bijou is like a Greek tragedy, I swear. And Tarot Cafe is kind of in the middle.
It's
There's
cool.
nothing super horrible that happens, but yeah, Tarot Cafe is actually my favorite manga at the moment. So.
No, that's cool.
All right, so anyways,
that's really cool.
I just wanna shout out happy non-denominational celebration of greed to everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
Wait, so how many manga versions of Tarot Cafe are out right now that people can buy in bulk?
Four.
Oh okay. Wow, guys. Guys, that's considerably cheap. You'd only be spending maybe $50 on four volumes of this wonderful manga.
Or if you go buy them used somewhere, you can get them for even cheaper.
Yes. Well. Yeah, good point. And you can put it in a really cute box with a fake tarot card on it. That'd be so cute.
You know what would be awesome?
A real tarot card, because they sell those things everywhere.
Well, the thing that you could do that would, you know, to me would be a great gift, especially if you were giving this to somebody who was obviously, most likely, an anime fan as well. Get a bento box, put them in the bento box, and then put the tarot card on the top.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
With the ribbon around it.
Oh my god!
Do they make bento boxes the way they make lunch boxes? Do they come with like all the popular cartoon characters and stuff on them?
Some do, some don't.
You could get them with an anime character on them.
Yeah,
they do.
Some do, some don't. Like the one that I was looking at that I really, really want, like really, really bad, like so, so bad. It's actually just black onyx on the outside and then red, like blood red on the inside.
Ooh, that sounds sexy.
Yeah, it's mad sexy.
That sounds cool.
Yeah.
No, or you could make a meal and put the card in the sticky rice.
Yeah, you could do that too, but you can't look at the card because it would have sticky stuff on it.
And you can't read read the rice, and you can't eat the rice because it's got card all over it.
Yeah.
Well.
But yeah. Anyway, in any case,
you could get like an edible tarot card that's like printed on gum or something, and then that would work. But
dude, do you know that they make like icing? All right, we're getting way off topic, and that's another podcast. But I saw this the other day that you can like send your pictures off to this company, and they will make icing that you can like print your picture on.
You didn't know that? That's been around for like 20 years.
But put it on a cupcake. Like you can print it yourself
on a
though.
Cupcake. That's
yeah.
Kind of cool.
So you can like take a picture and you could like make cupcakes for like a bake sale for your kid or something, and actually put your kid's face on it.
I wouldn't want to eat somebody's
Here, eat
face.
My kid.
Yeah, eat my son Billy. No, that's so wrong. Anyway, please continue.
Yes,
I'm
it is.
Sorry.
That's another podcast.
That's so another podcast.
Yes, it is.
Pedophilia is wrong. I just want to go on record as saying that because I don't want to get a letter. I can't believe that you girls said that. All right.
If that's the case, strap on a set. This is the real world. Anyway.
Yeah, speaking of strap-ons, that's so another podcast.
I said strap on a set.
Oh, I'm sorry. Please continue. So...
Go on, magic.
Right, so I gave both Archangels and Les Bihu 4 out of 5 and Tarot Cafe 5 out of 5.
Because it's just that good.
Yeah, because they're awesome. And I own all of them that are out so far. Les Bihu is actually done. It's five volumes long, and it's complete.
Okay.
Awesome.
Archangels is 2 or 3 at this point, but it's not done. And Tarot Cafe is 4. And we've been waiting quite a while for them for the 5th. I can't wait for that to come out. But anyways, what I really, really want to talk about is Park's style. She's technically a manhwa artist, not a manga artist, because she's Korean.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, all the purists out there are screaming and yelling, it's not manga! So, you know, I may as well give them a nod.
Screaming elitists!
Purists? Because
no,
I know I'm not. Anything I'm that kind of looks like manga, I'd call it manga.
Yeah, no, I'm not purist or elitist or anything. It all falls under the gets my money umbrella.
Yeah, because there's so much controversy about that. Like, if it's created in America by an American, it's not manga. If it's created in Korea, it's not manga.
Just consider it a graphic novel out of the manga context.
Yeah, well,
actually,
I think the only reason
you start calling it graphic novels, and then people who are into American comics get all antsy, and it's like,
yeah,
well,
that's
not
right.
Graphic
well,
novel.
The thing is, and this is why I base it off of this, is that as far as graphic novel goes, is if you have a majority of imagery and a story that goes over typical comic length, which I think is like 32 pages.
Yeah, like
at
a comic
most,
issue.
Yeah, at most. If it goes over that, if it is short story form, I say it's a graphic novel. If you don't like it, you can kiss my ass. But if it goes over the standard definition of comic book length and the majority is imagery, then it is a graphic novel. Deal with it. Wherever
don't be a punk-ass bitch. It's a graphic novel.
I knew once I said it, you were going to work it in someplace.
Yep.
Yeah, you reminded her that she had to fill her quota.
Yeah. Please.
Right.
Magic. Continue.
Okay. So anyways, Tarot Cafe is about this girl, Pamela, who's seemingly immortal. She's, like, older than, like, dirt.
wow, that's old.
That's some old schoolishness right there.
Now, wait, does she look old?
No.
Okay.
She looks regular, indeterminate age for manga.
Don't you love that?
No, in between, like, 20 and 50.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, somewhere, right? You can't tell. Well, actually, you know, considering how old the kids in Naruto are, she could be anywhere between 10 and 50.
Yeah, that's true.
Good point.
That's very true.
So, anyways. So, Pamela can tell fortunes, hence the Tarot Cafe.
Right.
Actually, the Tarot Cafe is where she works.
Mm-hmm.
And all these mystical creatures come to her for help. Like, she talks to a werewolf. She talks to a vampire. She talks to this alchemist who can make wax dolls that, like, are really lifelike and alive.
In mm-hmm. all kinds of ways? Sorry.
Yeah, you know, I...
Sorry.
That's another podcast.
Actually, that's the whole theme of the story. He's kind of conflicted, and he's like, wow, this thing seems like it's really alive. It seems to get hurt. It seems to, like, love. It seems to cry. Is it, you know, does it have a soul? Is it alive? That's the whole point of that chapter or series of chapters.
Oh, wow, you turned that to a much deeper place than where my shallow mind
is.
But
I know. She went to the dirty end of the pool.
I deliberately ignored you and did my own thing with what you said.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I won't do that anymore. I'm
Come
sorry.
Back
so
to the
instead of dumbing myself
of
down
pool.
To your level, I smartened you up.
Good, I'm glad I need some more IQ points.
Well, you're not borrowing any of mine.
I need all the ones I have left. I can't spare
Enjoy
any.
Enjoy half of mine, thanks. So anyways, she's talking to them, and she seems to have this, like, quest, because when they come in, they give her, like, jewels or pearls or something, and you find out eventually that it's from this necklace, this hundreds of strands of pearls and jewels necklace. I think it's called Brile's necklace.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, she's trying to get this all together, and there are hints to a dark secret past and all this, and they really don't
Ooh.
Explain much of it in the
that
in
sounds
the
really nifty
that I've read. But
I like stuff like that like piques my curiosity, because I like to let my imagination play. Like, any kind of stuff that I get into, which is probably the reason why I don't read a lot of manga, is because it's all lined out for me, and so my imagination doesn't get to play any.
Yeah, yeah. And it depends, really, because even between anime and manga versions of the same thing, they'll organize the story differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's see. Black Cat, I recently both discovered the manga and the anime. And in the manga, they're in like the modern times, and they hint back to what has happened in the past. And in the anime, they start in the past and linearly go straight through everything that's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's terrible. I preferred the hinting part. Like, there's something you don't know that the characters do, kind
mm-hmm.
of thing.
Well, because your curiosity gets piqued, and so that makes it more interesting. Whereas if you're presented something and you're brought through it linearly, you know, there's very little left for you to be curious about.
Yeah.
Does that
yeah,
make
except
sense?
For where they're going.
Right.
But it's
yeah,
if you get, like, a chunk of time where they explain what's going on and you don't know what happened before and you don't know what happened after, it's much more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like with, with the melancholy of Shizumiya. The way that they did that out of order, that was much more interesting than if we had done it linearly. It
yeah,
was much more
that's
interesting.
True. That's true. That was aired on Japanese TV out of order, wasn't it?
Yes, purposely, to throw people off track, and people loved it.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway.
This
Sang Sun Park's style is very, 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 very different. Because usually in manga, you see some scratchy lines with a lot of white space.
Mm-hmm.
Sang Sun Park, she fills in everything.
Really?
Everything. Everything's got a texture. Everything's got a feeling. You can tell what's warm, what's cold, what looks like it would be scratchy, what looks fluffy. Everything like that. And she doesn't do it in a way that's confusing.
Hmm.
Oh, I love that.
You can still distinguish everything. It's like, what was it called? The Count of Monte Cristo.
Yeah,
I never read
that. The anime of that.
Oh,
with all the textures. That
oh,
could be confusing.
Gaku.
I don't know what it is.
Gaku Tenso.
something like that.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. And I only know that because it was one of the first things, like the first volume when I bought my PSP. It was available on UMD, and I had to choose between that and the first volume of Hellsing and Hellsing 1. So I know what you're talking about. I haven't actually seen it. I'm hoping that it will start on anime in advance.
I saw the first episode of that on a demo disc a while ago. I'll have to go back and watch it and do a review of it.
Yeah, that would be really good because I've heard great things about it. I just haven't gotten around to actually seeing it.
Yeah, the textures in that are amazing. They're amazing. Everything is, you know how Reboot, let's get back to that. You know how they had, like, the shiny hair, and it always had, like, a weird texture?
Yeah.
Now imagine that, but everything. Everything had a pattern. Everything had a texture.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
See, that sounds really interesting to me, because that's one of my big complaints about manga, and I think that's one of the reasons why I haven't been able to get into it, even though I like minimalist stuff, but I find the drawing style to be a little too minimalist, and I think it's because that texture isn't there that I have a hard time, like, emotionally getting drawn in or, like, connecting with what's on the page. Like, does that make sense?
I can definitely understand that. I actually, being a snobby artist myself, I do. I will open a manga and be like, oh, God, what were they thinking? They actually paid an artist to create this? I could do this with my feet. I'm a horrible person. I really am.
You are not a horrible person.
Oh, I'm a terribly horrible person. I just don't let it out very often.
But you're just, you know, a very good critic. Okay? Especially when you do stuff and you see other people's stuff and you're like, Jesus Christ, I could have done that with, like, one hand behind my back and after having 7 shots of tequila. And they made how much money making that? I totally understand. Really. That doesn't make you a bad person. It just means you don't know the right people to network it so that you can make really shitty stuff but make a lot of money doing it.
Yeah.
But I'm digressing. Please continue.
Okay, so, you know, like, screen tone can only go so far if you've got your chicken scratches. Sang-Sang Park doesn't really use screen tone.
Okay.
Everything appears to be. I'm not 100% sure. She may create her own screen tone. I don't know. But everything appears to be hand-drawn, and, you know, the patterns are all different, and it's none of that cookie-cutter screen tone that you see everywhere.
Well, and you want to know one of the reasons why you see that everywhere? Because I just saw this today, actually, while I was out.
Yeah.
They actually make an application, they make 2, to create your own manga and to create your own anime that has all those patterns all built in, the text bubbles and everything. And so all you have to do
You know how you can go online? You can go online and download fonts. You can go online and download screen tones, too.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that's part of the reason why you see it all over the place so much. So I already can appreciate Sang-Sang Park because anything that's hand-drawn to me is always a million times better than its counterpart.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's just something tactile about it that you can tell right off the bat, hand-drawn versus, you know, computer animated. It's always better.
Be hand-drawn with a pencil or hand-drawn with a tablet, but it does appear to be fun.
Yeah, that's really cool.
So, it's not your typical manga. They don't have spiky hair because there's so much more detail in their hair that it's not, you know, just random spiked.
Oh, it's not Dragon Ball Z, you know, first 5 spikes are black and then when I'm in super mega mode, it's blonde!
Yes. No, wait, no, it's not
that's
like that.
Super Saiyan, actually.
Yeah, I know, Super Saiyan.
So they had, like, Super Saiyan, like, 7, because then they become purple monkeys. But...
What? See, I haven't even gotten that. I couldn't...
It doesn't matter.
Weren't they originally purple monkeys until they took their tails
They were
off?
Regular monkeys.
Yeah, they were regular monkeys, and then...
No, they were, like, giant regular monkeys.
Yeah, they were brown, but they were big brown monkeys.
Okay.
But then when they hit Super Saiyan 7 or 8, they become purple monkeys.
Super Saiyan
7 or 8?
With their heads.
I only remember like 3 or 4. And
yeah, the most that I got to was Super Saiyan 4. And then I was like, okay, I can't take it. What happens next? Your eyeballs fall out and you're like, ah! I'm a Super Saiyan level 6. Fear
me. That was like in GT, wasn't it?
Then maybe, yeah. I think, then if it's not 7, then I think it's 6. I think it's 6 then. because they do become purple monkeys, because there's a picture I used to have as my desktop, and it's Vegeta, and he's wearing glasses, and he's reading War and Peace, and he's a giant purple monkey.
Oh my god, you have got to send me that desktop.
Yeah, I gotta see that.
That's awesome. We're totally digressing, but that's awesome.
But anyway, so Magic, Tarot Cafe, and this beautiful artist and all of her work, would this be something you think people should buy for the holidays?
Oh, totally.
Okay, totally. So oh, yeah. Just for...
And if she ever comes out with an art book, buy that too. I'm like on the waiting list for this non-existent art book already.
Now wait, you talked about the Tarot Cafe, Archangels, and what was the other one?
Le Bijou. It ends with an S.
On one of the covers, is there like a girl with like a violin? Because I think I've...
That's a new one. That's the Oro, I want to say.
Oh, all right. Because I've seen that, and I thought that was beautiful. And that kind of has that same kind of a better artist form. So I thought that's what you were talking about. But that's okay.
No, that's about I read that. It's about a girl who meets up with a fairy, and the fairy gives her a magical...
Rub down? No, I'm sorry. I take that back. You can't say anything like that and then leave white space. My brain goes to naughty, naughty places.
Like mine.
But that's why it's
mine
fun.
Too.
I should pause more often.
Anyway, all right.
Yeah. All right, but she, the fairy gives her a magical violin.
Ah.
And she has to join the band.
And she has to join the band.
But it's like, this magic... violin only sounds good if her like heart's in the right place or something, so whenever she tries to show off with this magical violin, it makes horrible noises. It actually looks like a really cute manga.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, all right.
That definitely sounds interesting. I will give you this magical violin, but don't use it to be pretty.
Yeah, it's like, man, I'm the best at violin, like... hear me out. It's like, dude, you suck. It's like, no, I'm really good. Really.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happens.
I could see
but
that happening
also,
in real
it's
life.
It's also this, it's at this academy. It's like some private, snooty private school somewhere, where half of it is a magic school, music school. My brain's right. Not working tonight. And they're like all these like kid geniuses and really snooty musicians types who obviously at some point gonna get real pissed off that she's doing this. You know, she doesn't practice. She didn't learn how to play it. She just got some magical instrument handed to her.
It's like, hey, you play this.
That happens all the time. You know, I got a magical set of drums. And so I just kind of go in the other room and kick it sometimes and, you know, pretend that I'm the drummer from Lenny Kravitz's band and afro puff out my hair and like... But anyway.
Hey, I have a mystical guitar called Usher.
Well, because I was getting ready to go to the drum part. And then I stop myself because I'm like, I'm going off on a tangent. I need to come back.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anywho.
Right, so Tarot Cafe, awesome. Sang Sun Park, awesome.
Go get it. Awesome.
Go get it. Shoo. Go.
Now.
Like right now.
Please.
While you're getting
moody. While you're getting
away. Go now.
while you're getting Final Fantasy XII, go get this other shit.
Yeah.
Make sure.
It's not shit.
No,
it's
not.
It's the good shit. It's the hot
good shit.
Shit.
Okay, it's good shit.
Not the icky
it's
shit.
It's the best stuff
that reminds
in the world.
Me of that cell phone ad where they tell the guy that nights start at 7 instead of 9, and he's like, he starts getting like real freaked out, and he's like, you're crazy! You're all crazy! One of the employees looks over and says, good crazy or bad crazy?
Good crazy. But anyway.
Crazy.
Go get it. Go get it.
Go get it.
You heard the lady. Shoot.
All right. So... That's my spiel.
Okay.
I'm going to give the mic of 1,000 Truths with its Final Fantasy sticker and its Christmas bow and all that to Ninja.
Whee!
What are you going to do with it?
Well, first I'm going to look at the... I'm going to steal the sticker because it's kind of cute.
Hey!
I'm going to put it to good use.
Okay.
You can find another one.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to put it on my Mac right next to the apple on the back so that when people
okay.
like have seen me out at the Panera or whatever, they'd be like, look at that sticker. It's the bomb. Yeah, I had to take my fuck all y'all sticker off because I was like.
Yeah, especially now where you work. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I had to like take that off my laptop. But that was so awesome because I'd be out and just have that off and people would just like look at it and then like leave me alone. I loved it. And I take it off now. They want to talk
to me. See, the only sticker I've got on my computer is one that says, "We are the people our parents warned us about."
Yes. But anyway, so Ninja, what do you have for us today?
Well, basically, since we're sticking on the holiday gift guide, I want to talk about a couple of the things that are on the tops of my list on the guide. And actually, one of them is going to be added to the guide this weekend, and then the other two are already there. One is a movie, and one is a video game, and then the other one is the video game. So the first thing I want to talk about is the movie, because we don't really talk about movies a whole lot in the podcast, but this is definitely something that you have to appreciate if you haven't seen it, or if you have somebody that really enjoys a good story, something kind of up-tempo. Boiler Room is a movie that you cannot go wrong with. And that is, again, just in case you didn't understand what I said, Boiler Room. Okay.
That's an older one, isn't it?
That was quite a few years ago. It came out in about 2000.
Oh, yeah. And by quite a few, I mean like six.
Yeah. And it's got Giovanni Ribisi in it.
He's my favorite actors.
Yeah. It's got Vin Diesel, and this is actually his first acting role. And as far as I'm concerned, it's the best one because he actually acts in it. Okay.
Like
if you wanna remember Vin Diesel for his goodness and not as the dude in The Pacifier, definitely.
I deliberately stayed away from The Pacifier because
I was sick one day and I was like, "Hey, it's free on demand." Never again.
Bad idea.
Free doesn't always mean good.
Yeah, I've learned that. I've learned my lesson. Please believe me. But what I like about Boiler
free
Room.
Usually means that nobody else wants it.
Except for our candy, because everybody wants our candy.
Yes, I want our candy.
Yeah. I have a box. I just haven't mailed it out. There's candy. All right. So anyway, what I like about Boiler Room is basically if you've ever seen Glengarry Glen Ross, it's kind of a more urbanized take on that movie, which Glengarry Glen Ross is definitely in my top 10 movies of all time, and I tell people that they need to see it all the time, you know, because there are lines that people quote now that came from that movie, okay? ABC, always be closing. Yeah, that's from Glengarry Glen Ross. But anyway, back to Boiler Room. What I liked about Boiler Room and why I suggest it for most people is because, one, it's got a really touching story. Like, when it first starts out, it starts out slow, and you think, oh, I'm not going to get involved with this. But then things happen to the main character, and you learn more about him and his life that make you emotionally engaged, I don't care who you are, right off the bat.
Yeah, Ninja had me going. She made me watch it, and I was like, dude, I never thought this movie was that good.
Yeah, I like had to make her watch it, and she was kind of paying attention for the first 5 minutes. And then a couple things happen, and she's like, shit. What's going to happen? And I'm like, watch the fucking movie.
Because I'm like that.
And then some other shit happens.
That's like halfway down my to-watch list. It's kind of one of those movies that's been halfway down my to-watch list since it came out.
Well, Magic, you need to watch it.
You need to watch it. And if you're looking for a movie to get somebody who's even remotely into hip-hop, who appreciates Giovanni Ribisi, or if you just want somebody, you know, who likes eye candy, Nia Long is in it. And freaking Vin Diesel. Double yummy. And personally, I have a thing for Giovanni Ribisi. But,
yeah, me too.
Triple yummy.
Whammy.
Okay, and then if you need a little funny, Jamie Kennedy's in it too. Although his character really in the movie isn't very funny. Like, he actually plays like just like a regular dude, which is even funnier.
There's something really, really sad about comedians who play regular roles. It's like, oh, you lost your funny.
Yeah.
No, they didn't. They just put it away for right now.
Well, because they realize if they want to make serious money, they have to be a serious actor at some point in time. Because comedians, unless you break big and sell a whole lot of albums, you don't make shit.
Dane Cook. Anyway. Sorry. Yeah, subliminal messaging.
Sounded too. Dude,
I didn't even think that that was you. I was like, oh my god, the walls are telling me to see Dane Cook. They're talking to me. Like, they call his name, and so I burst forth. All right, so anyway, so that's Boiler Room. It's definitely on the top of my list. If you're looking for some good movies, you know, anybody who would appreciate that kind of flick, you know, Glengarry Glen Ross, even Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, that kind of stuff, the Flim Flam, Matchstick Men, definitely, you have to have Boiler Room in your collection.
What's next?
All right, so the next thing that I've got on my list is actually God of War. I mean, you know, if we're talking
hell yeah,
top-rated stuff.
Give yours back to you, by the way.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll get to that later.
I have to play mine. I haven't gotten farther than, like, let's see. I think I'm still at the gates of Athens, which is
You're
like,
still at the gates of Athens? Have you seen?
Hey, at least I'm in hell trying to go up that freaking tower really? With the spikes right now.
Oh, don't you hate that shit? All right. No. Yeah. Anyway, so have you, like, Magic, have you actually seen Ares for the first time yet?
Yeah, he's stomping around.
Yeah.
Well, okay, see the part I'm at is you go into the, like, closed room and you have to freeze the minotaurs on the button and then escape.
Oh, yeah.
I hated that. It takes me forever.
You know what I do?
Then you run down that street and it's like a dead end. I can't figure out where I'm supposed to go down there.
Okay, so you actually got past where the gate drops?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've beaten that.
All right, and then you go down.
And I've gone all the way down that street afterwards.
Right.
But it ends in, like, that crater, and I can't figure out where I'm supposed to go.
I'll get my walkthrough, and we'll be good. But the reason why God of War is on the top of my list is because it is, by far, out of all the games that I've played, and I'm talking from Pong until today.
Oh, wow.
Okay? This is me saying from Pong until today, it is by far the best gaming experience I've had.
Wow.
Period. Okay.
Yeah, I definitely need to keep playing then.
The voice acting is superb. The story is engaging, involving, and the way that they use the narrator to push it through is by far the best implementation of those three parts of storytelling that I have to this day seen in a game.
And there are boobies.
Sure, there are titties.
Yeah.
Sure, there's the menage a trois mini sex game, which the first time I played the game through, I didn't even know about, so I skipped it completely.
Wait, when is that?
It's way at the beginning. Okay, you know when you're on the ship after you beat the
Hydra? When you wake up with the chicks
bed? Yeah, if you jump back on the bed, it says push a button. So when you push the button, it starts the sex mini game, and, like, the camera veers off to the left, and they're like, oh, Kratos. And then what you have to do is you have to, like, wing the analog stick around with the motions that pop up on the screen. If you do it right, it explodes in an orgasm of money for you. So you basically get, like, a bunch of red orbs.
And yeah, but you can only do it a couple of times because then they don't pay out as much.
Right, they don't pay out as much. But the first couple of times, they pay out real huge. The second time, the, like, third, fourth, and fifth times, and everything after that, they only pay out, like, 6 or 7 orbs. But you can pretty much stay there and keep doing that until your thumbs go numb.
If you really felt like laying down the pipe that
long. So, you know, if you really wanted to, like, right off the bat be able to upgrade your weapon, like, the second
that's
time
what
I played
you
the
do.
Game, that's
Go
what
do
I did.
Go do some bitches!
You just screw them hoes just over and over and over again.
Wow, that's better than hot coffee.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Especially because, at least, you know, in hot coffee, they're all clothed. In this thing, it's just titties out, and they're like, Kratos, come back to bed.
Well, yeah, if you talk to them, even without doing the game, if you talk to them, that's what they say. They're like, oh, Kratos, come back to bed.
Yeah.
Oh.
But it's really funny, because when he jumps up on the bed, he, like, grabs one by the back of the head. And
well, he's not a nice person.
Yeah, and then the camera
veers
off.
He kills civilians for health points.
I know, it's awesome. Anyway.
But, I mean, the visuals are great. I mean, it really does push the PlayStation to the brink of what it can handle. The load times are not bad. The moves are sick. The upgrades for the weapons are unbelievable. Like, I even upgraded my the second sword that you get, the one that you get from what's her name?
Artemis?
Yeah, Artemis. When you get her sword, I even upgraded that thing. When you upgrade that thing to its highest potential, that thing does sick damage. It's crazy. The combos that you can string together are amazing. And the fact that you can actually pick up the game now, if you can find it, for $20 because it's a platinum hit, is definitely a great game to get. Either as a
and
gift.
And it's cheap, and it's good.
Either as a
isn't it PlayStation's greatest? So it's only like $20 now.
Yeah, it's $19.99 because it's on the greatest hits list. So if you can find it, it makes a great, you know, straight up game for a gamer. Or if you have a gamer that you need a stocking stuffer for, because it's only $20 Fucking go.
It's on,
it up.
Bitches. It's on.
It's on. And I guarantee you, if they don't have this game, if they like any kind of violent games at all, or if they like games that are intriguing in any way, this game will challenge them, it will intrigue them, and you will be a hero for $20. So it's, you know, got a 5 out of 5 from me. It's on the gift guide list, so you can definitely hit up the page, check it out, and if you want to grab it right then and there, we actually have links for the things in the gift guide that when you click on them, takes you to the store that you can actually buy them. So right then and there, just boom, be done, get your holiday shopping done. And then
have you played the second one yet?
It's not out
yet. No, it hasn't
been
released yet.
God of War 2 comes out in February 07.
It's coming.
Yeah, and it's supposed to launch because the window is kind of open. So it's either going to launch right at the very beginning of February or right at the very end. So it's either coming out the 2nd or the 22nd.
So either they're going to give it to us or they're going to tease us and make us wait.
And please keep in mind that God of War 2 is not a PlayStation 3 title. It is a PlayStation 2 title.
Yippee!
Just so that you know. And then the final thing that I want to talk about, actually, I was going to mention Kaleidostar because I thought it would be great, you know, movie, anime, and game. But I've talked about Kaleidostar a lot. If you like, you know, the perky girl, you know, overcomes the obstacles and learns about herself and finds confidence, yeah. Anybody who likes that kind of stuff in anime, Kaleidostar is a great way to go.
But the ending really rocks.
Even if you don't like it, because I kind of try and stay away from that kind of stuff, but Kaleidostar makes me, like, smile and happy inside.
So I know, it's like Cirque du Soleil on crack.
Or anything, really.
Yeah. I mean, you can't be in a bad mood and watch Kaleidostar and still be in the bad mood when you're done.
Nope. It's so just not possible.
It's definitely up there on the list. But one of the things that I wanted to talk, and this is one that I'm hopefully going to be writing about, but I'm actually going to be adding it to the gift guide this weekend, is a game called Viva Pinata for the Xbox 360. If you haven't heard about Viva Pinata, the game was designed for kids, but it... First of all, it looks really good. I mean, so good. Especially if you have, a 42-inch flat screen, you know, TV.
Yeah, like you do.
Lucky bastard.
Anyway.
Moving on. But if you have a really big TV that can take advantage of it, it's great. And basically what the deal is it's kind of like a Sims game. Or if you've ever played Animal Crossing on the GameCube, it's like that. So basically you're on Pinata Island. And you get this plot of land, and what you have to do is you actually have to clean it up and then, like, put grass seed down and try to get pinatas on the island interested in living on your plot of land.
Then, pinatas being people or animals?
No, pinatas. Like little animals.
Pinata!
Pinatas. So there's like a little squirrel pinata, and then there are like little worm pinatas and little fox pinatas.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah. And they all look like pinatas, so they have, like, their paper mache, so when they move, all their different, like, hair, which is just paper, flows differently, and they start out as being black and white, and so you have to do stuff to your land to get them interested in it. So, like, the first one that you get is, like, a little worm, and before the little worm will come on your plot, you have to, like, smack down all the soil that's hard to make it soft, because they like to burrow in the soft, you know, dirt. And then it's like, oh, look, you've got a little worm interested in your land. And so then he'll jump in, and then he'll just, like, start moseying around to the little square that you have. And so then another one will show up, and then what you got to do is you got to get him to romance and make other little worms. So basically you then become a nookie broker.
You become a brothel.
Yeah, basically, because what you have to do is meet the requirements that your worms need in order to get in the mood. And then when they get in the mood, like, little hearts show up above their heads. But before they can do it to make other little worms, they got to have a house. So there's no freaky deaky before, you know, at least living together. So you have to make enough money to buy a house so that your worms can get together. So once you get the house, you get the land, you meet the requirements, and little hearts show up. Then you have to, like, direct them to each other and say, okay, hook up. And then they'll go to each other, and they'll do a little dance, and it starts a mini game. And if you complete the mini game successfully, you get both money, and then your little worms will hook up.
That's cool.
And it's so funny, because,
wait, this is for little kids?
Yes, but you don't, like, see them having sex. Basically, they do a mating dance, and it's not called hookup, it's romancing. And the first time you watch them romance, like, they basically have a... They dance together. So, like, the in their little house, you get brought in, and the jukebox starts. And, like, the little worms, like, they're into hip-hop. So the music starts playing, and then they start breakdancing and popping and locking. And then when that's all done, it breaks out, and it's like, okay, your worms, and you can name them once they're a resident. So my first ones were Dinkle and Doohickey. And so then it says Dinkle and Doohickey are romancing. And then, like, the stork comes. It's called Storkos. And it's like, I've delivered your egg. And then, like, 3 minutes later, your egg will crack open. It's like, you have a new worm. And then you get to name it, and then it will grow up. But then other pinatas start getting interested. So, like, after
Wait, do they grow up into, like, a different type of pinata? Or
they grow up to an adult pinata, but if you feed them different things, like, they'll change color.
Cool.
So it's really cool. Like, my first worms were all orange, but I fed one, I think it was, like, a banana or something. And so then he was, like, orange and yellow. But then a freaking sparrow pinata came and ate him.
Aww.
Because some pinatas have to, like, their criteria in order to hook up is that they have to eat other pinatas. So, like, in order to get your sparrows to hook up, they each have to eat, like, a worm one, and then there has to be a house, and they have to have done something else. And then they'll hook up. So you have to, like, keep propagating other pinatas so you can either sell them or use them to feed other ones to get them to become residents. And it's so sad because right when they're about to be eaten, it's not like they go over and peck at them. They don't do anything like that. What they do is they, like, throw stuff at them to crack open the piñata and eat the candy inside.
Oh, that's sad.
So I was watching, like, the little sparrow thing, and he kept, like, throwing arrows at my little worm guy. And then the thing pops up and is like, you have a piñata that's about to be eaten. And I'm like, no, don't eat him. And by the time I got over there, he'd already cracked him open. And so this white light comes down, and, like, all the paper mache rolls around in a circle, and then all the candy's there, and then all the other pinatas that were in my block came running to eat all the candy. I'm like, you carnivorous bastard.
So they ran to eat his candy?
Yeah, they ran to eat. I'm like, that is so sad. I know it's a circle of life and everything, but it's so sad. But it's so fun. I mean, like, it's so simple. And it seems really childish, but it's so much fun to play that I think that it's definitely a game that, like, parents can actually sit down and guide their little kids with and actually have fun doing it. And then as a person myself, you know, I'm not a teeny bop or anything like that, but I'm having so much fun arranging my houses and trying to get new pinatas to come in and stay and see what colors that they change to and how they interact with each other and when I can get, you know, a bigger plot of land. And as you progress, different stores will open up so you can buy, you know, accessories for your piñatas. So, like, right now I have a bee that has on a gas mask for no reason. And he kind of walks around and he wheezes because it's heavy. So, like, he'll fly around for a little bit and then he'll stop. His name is Gip. And he'll just, like... and then he'll get up and move on. I'm just like, that's so funny. You can buy, like, combat boots. So, like, I have a bunny that has combat boots on. I used to have 4 bunnies, but then the foxes came and they ate 2 of my fucking bunnies.
Aww.
And bunnies are really hard to get to live on your property because you got to feed them each 3 carrots before they will, and then you have to grow the damn carrots. So you got to grow carrots to get the bunnies interested in hopping on your land, and then after they eat all the carrots, then they change color. But then you gotta put up a fence. Because if the foxes come in, they're gonna sneak up on your damn bunnies. And then you either have to whack them with a shovel and break them open and kill them, basically.
The foxes?
Yeah. Because anything that comes on your property that you don't want there or anything that you just don't want anymore, you can beat the hell out of it and break the pinata and feed the candy to all your other...
Oh, God.
So you basically, like, have to do, like... controlled populations, because at some point it's like, oh my god, all your pinatas are getting trampled by other pinatas, you need to, like, get rid of some. And they don't say you should sell them, they're just like, get rid of some. So at first I didn't know, so I'm sitting there and I'm whacking the hell out of all of my worms, because I was getting busy with the worms. I had worms all over the joint because they were easy to
You heard it from Ninja herself. Ninja has worms
and they're easy.
But they are. So I had, like, 25 5 worms, and like they kept getting stepped on, which made them unhappy.
They didn't get crushed or anything.
They just got unhappy. They would like smush, and then they pop back up and go bloop, bloop, and then their little happiness bar would go down. So I was sitting there whacking the hell out of these worms, killing them, and leaving the candy out, and everything else would eat it. And then I realized, oh, I can actually sell these in the store now. So when I started selling my pinatas instead of just killing them. But definitely, Viva Piñata, I'll be honest with you, it's probably going to get a 4 out of 5 from me just because it's oddball fun. It actually teaches your kids a little bit of math because they have to learn how to manage their money as far as buying fertilizer to make trees grow bigger or buying seeds to plant different kinds of flowers because different bugs like different kinds of flowers and that kind of stuff. And so it's actually a really good educational tool. The controls are very easy to use, and it's just so quirky, and it's fun. And, you know, I have to kind of coach that all in the fact that I am a huge Animal Crossing freak, so this just is like takes Animal Crossing and makes it so much better because I'm not having to run errands for other people. I'm actually just going and, like, making my land comfortable for my residents as opposed to finding somebody's shirt and taking it to somebody else, and then them giving me a piece of wallpaper that I already own.
Yeah.
So, Viva Piñata, definitely. If you've got anybody that has a kid or is just a kid at heart, they're going to have way too much fun with this game. And so, I'm probably going to be writing a post about it, but it will definitely be in the gift guide this weekend. So, you'll be able to go to the gift guide, click on it, and actually buy it from Amazon right there from the site. Which is one of the things that I really wanted to mention was that you can buy stuff that's in our gift guide through the website. But with that said, I'm going to say this podcast is toast.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah. Nice and toasty.
Yeah, roasted and toasted like an almond, which is great for this part of the year.
Yeah.
Very true.
Where's in that chestnut?
Roasted almond.
Well, you can roast. I'm not really, really very into chestnuts. I'm not really into hazelnuts either. But if you roast an almond, oh, I'm all over that.
You know, I've never had roasted any kind of nut.
Really? You've never roasted nuts? Somehow I find that hard to believe.
I roast nuts all the time. It's a good pastime. Pandalicious.
Pandalicious is the national spokeswoman for roasting nuts. Have you ever seen the poster that says, "I want your nuts roasted"?
No,
you haven't seen it?
I've
seen
No,
say that I have.
All right. So, Panda, what are you doing with your toast?
I'm actually going to put some fish on it and take it with me since I'm seeing Happy Feet tonight.
Ooh.
Fish. Oh, because of the penguin thing.
The penguins. Yes.
Fish
you're
on
not,
toast?
You're not big on eating your toast because last week you fed your toast to your dog.
Yeah.
She can't have the carbs.
Yeah.
She's not into the carbs.
So I'm going to give it to the penguins with some, like, sardines and, like, fish on them.
They'll appreciate that.
They'll probably do a little jig for me.
Yeah. They'll probably go, so long, so long, and thanks for the fish. All right.
So. Good one.
All right. What about you, Magic? What are you doing with your toast?
I think I'm going to have to crumble it up and feed it to the WoW monsters. Because I...
She's back on now.
Somebody got some WoW money.
I was cleaned for almost 2 months, but the addiction dragged.
Clean, you make it sound like a drug. It is.
It is.
It is.
And Panda, you totally need to go to rehab.
No, I haven't played it in a while. I have another addiction.
We're on earlier this afternoon.
But I didn't play. I was only on for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, you know what? Denial ain't just a river in Egypt.
Hey, wow. I'm missing a ZG run tonight to go see Happy Feet.
Yeah.
I'm breaking the habit.
I'm missing a ZG run because it's a necessity, but you're actually skipping over it with something else.
Nope, because even when I come back, I'll probably play Final Fantasy XII.
Okay, they so don't it's only know because that, she found another addiction.
Yeah, and so it's basically you've now replaced your crack with heroin.
Yes. Ninja, what are you doing with your toast?
I'm actually going to take my toast and use it as croutons on a salad because I'm very, very hungry.
Yeah, me too.
You know, it's dinner time. But again, I want to thank you guys all for listening to us talk about the stuff.
Yes, thank you.
You can go to the website. If you go to www.electricsisterhood.com/giftguide, that's GIFTGUIDE, and then a /, that takes you right to it. We'll be adding a link in the total nav so that you'll be able to find it. We're going to be updating the gift guide every week, so we'll let you know what's worth getting for that anime fanatic or geek or gamer extraordinaire. On the regular, or what to really stay away from. What gift, if you give, they will freaking either re-gift it or want to take it back for a refund. And let's face it,
or nobody bitch wants, slap you.
Nobody wants to give Elaine gift. So let us help you. Not
no sweaters.
Be, no socks. Nobody wants socks.
I like your socks.
I do actually enjoy getting the fuzzy socks. You know, the ones that are like furry.
Yeah, but nobody gives those as a gift. They always give you like, oh, you can never have too many tube socks. Yes, you fucking can.
Nobody wants a new toaster.
I don't want any fucking socks for Christmas.
No more yarn, please.
Do you hear me, Mom? I don't need any fucking socks. All right.
Be grateful she can't hear you.
I know. The one last thing that I gotta do, because I almost forgot, is that we want to welcome aboard Deuces Wild as the latest member of the ESH crew.
Welcome, yay. Deuce. Yay. Yeah. I hope you hear this.
Oh, yeah. He'll hear it.
We'll make him.
He'll hear it. In any case, as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
I'm Pandalicious.
And I'm Magic Mystic Girl.
I'm going to have to say we're out of here.
We're out.
Yeah, sounds about good.